Right, let's take our Bibles, if you would, and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 2. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 2. Well, we're at that time of year where many hearts and minds are going to be turned toward Bethlehem, the birth of our Savior. And it's about this time of year that all the debates crank up. Should Christians celebrate Christmas? There'll be debates and you'll read about them. You may even get involved in a couple of them. I don't know. And was Jesus born of a virgin? And is Jesus Emmanuel? Is he truly God with us? Was he just another prophet or just the historical Jesus? Was he just another great prophet, a great teacher who taught us good moral ethics to live by? And then inevitably someone will come along, as I have already seen in some threads that I'm a part of, and say, well, you know, is December the 25th really the birthday of Jesus Christ? Was that the birth of Christ? And then you'll hear them say, well, you know, it couldn't have been because of the shepherds who were watching the flock in the field. And those sheep, they will say, and quite possibly so, were there, the firstlings of the flock, and they were the only ones that were there to be offered as the Passover, and Christ is our Passover, and so that would put the time of his birth around March or April. And then there are others who say, no, it wasn't March or April, it was around September, October, and they'll give you some more traditions, and they'll throw in some of the feast days, the Feast of Tabernacles, and different things. I can only tell you this. Sometime between January the 1st and December the 31st, God sent his Son. And I am forever grateful. I'm thankful that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I am so thankful that God sent Jesus, aren't you? And so while they that want to spend this time of year debating over the days and the feast and the purpose and was it this and is it that, I pray that you and I, rather than debating the cause, would celebrate the very fact that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He's God in the flesh. He's not 50% God and 50% man. He's 100% God. Deity, 100% man. And as I was thinking about that this past week, I began to think about this thought. What if there was no Christmas? C.S. Lewis made this statement. He said, always winter, but never Christmas. What would that be like? You know, in the Christmas season, things get a little barren. A lot of death among the creation. Things go into hibernation. But right in the midst of that, there's a day that has been set aside in this country when we celebrate the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for that time. Usually at Thanksgiving or very closely thereafter, many people in our country, in the Western culture, began to turn their hearts toward that time. Perhaps you have already began to turn your heart toward that time, and you have began to get out the decorations, and you have began to listen to Christmas music, and what I call Christmas time music. Now, Christmas music to me has got to be about Jesus, or it's not Christmas music. Now, if you want to sing I'll Be Home for Christmas, you sing it. I personally like the song okay. But that's not a Christmas song. That's a Christmas time song. You see, in order for a song to be a Christmas song, it's got to be about Jesus. And so I love good Christmas hymns, and I do like some Christmas songs. I'm not opposed to some of them. Now, some of them I think is just plumb silly, and I have no place. They don't in my life anyway. Now, if they do in yours, that's between you and, well, silly Christmas songs. But I began to think about this thought. what would it be like if we as a group of people were together here tonight and we were to say, Sister Carrie, would you come and play, and we're going to open up our hymn books and we're going to sing a Christmas carol. We're going to sing a Christmas hymn. But yet, when we searched into our hymn books, there was no Silent Night or no What Child Is This? There was no Joy to the World. There was no hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful. What would it be like? You know, sometimes we take those songs for granted, don't we? We do. I know we only sing them usually one time a year, and I realize that's solely based on tradition. Certainly would be nothing wrong with singing Joy to the World in July. There'd be nothing wrong with singing O Come All Ye Faithful in January. But many of those songs have been set aside for this season, and we sing them and we enjoy them, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that. But I wonder what it would be like if there were no Christmas. If we're not careful during this season, we will get wrapped up in everything that's not Christmas, that we will literally miss the celebration of Christmas. And each year I try to be a voice to advise and encourage you not to do that. Don't get caught up in all the outside things and all of the secondary things and forget the primary thing. Christmas is about Jesus, brethren. Christmas is about God sending His Son into this old sin-cursed world. Could you imagine what it would be like if Carrie were to come to the piano and we were all going to sing a song about Christmas, but there were no songs to sing? And someone says, well, you know, if we're not going to sing about it, let's read about it. So we turn in our Bible and we turn. And if you would, I ask you to turn to Luke chapter number 2, but turn back, if you would, to Malachi chapter number 4. And so as you turn in your Bible, you turn and you're looking and you come and your Bible only has 39 books. And your Bible ended this way. In verse number 5 of Malachi chapter 4, it says, Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And your Bible ended with the curse. But we want to read about Christmas. We want to read about God sending His Son. But it ends right there. Did you know there was a day when there was no Christmas? And the Bible didn't end right there. And the first 100 years came and they were silent. And the second 100 years came and they were silent. And the third 100 years came. And then there were 400 years of silence. God did not speak through His man. And then as you turn to the book of Matthew, I want you to notice in Matthew chapter number 1, after 400 solid years, Matthew records that God's going to break the silence. You know how He broke it? The New Testament begins in quite a different way than the Old Testament ends. Because God is getting ready to introduce to us Christmas. Amen. You say, Christmas? Oh, yeah. Look, if you would, in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Jesus, Savior, is what the name means. Christ, Messiah, is what the name means. And as you go on and you read about this and the genealogies, you get down into verse number 18. And Matthew says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Amen. What a great thing. Now we can go and we can read about Christmas. We turn to Luke chapter 2 and we get the announcement. Before Matthew even ever picked his pen up and began to pin down what he penned in Matthew 1, there were some shepherds out in the field. And there was an angel in verse number 9, if you'll look in verse number 9 of Luke chapter 2. And an angel said, I have an announcement to make. And the angel announced Christmas. Amen. The first Christmas. Look at this announcement. It says in verse number 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Amen. What a contrast that is to the curse. Got some good news. Amen. Of great joy. And he said, "Which shall be to all people," not just the Jew, "even to lowly shepherds." Low man on the totem pole were the shepherds in this day. History says, and tradition records, that they could not even testify in court. But it was these shepherds that this angel made this announcement to. Why? Because God wanted men to know, because of Christmas, every man would be worth something. Now listen to me. There's a song, my favorite, "O Holy Night." And in that song it says, the soul, when Jesus came, the soul felt its worth. There's something about Jesus that makes a man know there surely must be something worth living for. Brethren, it is this time of year that men will know that there is light in darkness. The spirit of people is different. Why? Because Christmas is real. It's not just about singing around a tree or sitting down around a table. It's about heaven coming to earth. God Himself coming in the person of Jesus Christ to save mankind from their sinful way. It says here in chapter number 2 of the Gospel of Luke in verse number 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Christmas. I would hate to go through life without that message. Could you imagine what it would be like if we met here and, as I said, the hymn books were void of any song about the birth of Jesus? The Bible ended with Malachi chapter number 4. But because of this announcement, brethren, because of this announcement, we get to read about the life and times of Jesus upon this earth. How He was born miraculously of a virgin, and how that God guided Joseph and Mary through those early years of their life, and how He guided those wise men to their home when he was just but a young child, and they brought him gifts from afar, and how that he grew in stature and in wisdom and in favor toward God and men, and stood up in the temple when he was 12 years old and taught with the power and authority like no one had ever taught. And he astounded the religious leaders when he was but 12 years old. When he was 30 years old, he entered into his earthly ministry. As he went to John and he asked him to baptize him there in the River Jordan, the Bible says the heavens opened and God looked down with great approval and said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him." The dove landed upon him there. And Jesus was baptized into the priesthood, into his earthly ministry. And for 3.5 years, he walked in the perfect will of God. Never took a step out of the tune of God. Never spoke an unkind, unclean word that was not in the will of God. And he did always those things, he says, that pleased the Father. I'm glad I get to read about that, aren't you? I'm glad for Christmas. Don't you miss what Christmas is about. But just for a moment, I want to give you just a few things of what would it be like without Christmas. You say, I know what it would be like, preacher. We wouldn't be able to get a tree and decorate it. Well, you know, you get a tree and decorate it. We do it at our house. There's nothing wrong with that. But can I tell you, that's not what makes Christmas. Well, I know what it would be like, preacher. We wouldn't be able to give gifts and exchange gifts and get those things at Christmas. Well, you listen, that's not what Christmas is about. It's not. Now, you do that. Amen. Don't forget your pastor, too. Put him on your list. Listen, there's nothing wrong with these traditional things, okay? There's nothing wrong with them. But that's not what Christmas is. Did you know you could still have all of those things and miss it? I want to give you some things that Christmas is really about. If there were no Christmas, now listen to me very carefully. Turn to John chapter 14. If there were no Christmas, the Father would be unknowable, unapproachable. We couldn't approach God without Jesus Christ. No man, Jesus said, can come unto the Father except by me. Isn't that what he said in John 14, 6? Look at it there. You're in John chapter 14. Jesus said in verse number 1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He goes on and talks about in his Father's house are many mansions. But then he said something in verse number 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, if there were no Christmas, man could not enter into the presence of God. God would be unapproachable. God would be unknowable. Sometimes when we're reading this scripture, if we're not careful, we'll stop at verse number 6. But read verse 7 with me. Look at it carefully. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. You want to know God? The only way to really know him is through Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus is teaching here. Now watch what Philip says. Now Philip was one of the first disciples. And he had been with Christ about as long as any of them. And this is what he said in verse number 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. What a statement. Did you get that? Do you realize what Philip just said? Philip said, there's something in me that is yearning. There is something in me that is craving. There's something inside of me that is hungering. My heart is panting. I want to know the God of heaven. Can I tell you that God has made man with a vacuum in his soul, that the only thing that will fill that vacuum is to know the God that made him. And Jesus said, I'm the only way that you're going to know that God. No Christmas, no knowing God. God would be unknowable as the Father. Did you know in the Old Testament that's not a name that was given unto God? But in the New Testament, because God sent forth His Son and the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, therefore we can cry, Abba, Father. Praise God. No Christmas, God's not approachable. So this year when you celebrate the true meaning of the season, make it about who it really is about. Christmas, brethren, is about Jesus. What if there were no Christmas? God would be unapproachable, unknowable. Look again what Philip said here in John 14. Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Can I tell you what Philip's saying? That's all I need. Amen. Amen. Boy, I pray to God I could come to that place in my life to where I could truly say and mean it, God, you're all I need. I just want to know you. I don't want to know about you. I don't want to know things about you. God, I want to know you personally. I want to know you. Wasn't that Paul's cry? That I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul said, I want to know Jesus. You know, if there were no Christmas, you couldn't know him. The Father would be unknowable, unapproachable. You know, I want you to turn to a scripture in 2 Corinthians. I could quote it to you, but I want you to read it with me. Some of you know this scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at it if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 19. There was a reason God sent Jesus to this world. It was because man had gone his own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone into his own way. and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. 2 Corinthians 5:19, the Apostle Paul said this, to wit, and that is just another word for witness, to be the witness, to wit, that God was in Christ, why? Reconciling the world unto himself. God wanted man to know him. God is holy and just. And man in his sinful state cannot approach God. But God sent Jesus to bridge the gap between God and man. And through Christ, God came in Christ to reconcile man back to God. If there were no Christmas, man would not know God. Man would not be able to approach God. God would be unapproachable. God would be unknowable. But thank God there is a Christmas. Amen. And so this Christmas, well, preacher, I don't believe it's December the 25th. Well, let's pretend that it is. Because God has sent forth his Son. Amen. Jesus is coming to the world. Joy to the world's in the book. Amen. Amen. Jesus being born, the birth of Jesus Christ is on this wise. The angel has made the announcement. Christ has come, lived, died, buried, rose again according to the scriptures. Thank God there is a Christmas. And this year as we celebrate it, let's celebrate it in the fact that because of Christmas, I can know God. I know him because there's a Christmas. The second thing, if there were no Christmas, the Father would be unknowable. But you know something? Turn back to Luke chapter number 2 just for a moment. The gospel would be unpreachable. You know, I try to make it a pattern, a fixture in my ministry to present the gospel. We try to put the gospel on much of what we sent out in printed material here. On every tract that goes forth from this church, I want the gospel of Jesus Christ on it. When I stand to preach, I in some way want to give the gospel, and I always want to invite people to respond to the gospel and turn their lives over to Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Realizing that he paid the penalty, that he came, he lived, he died. Some people say, well, you know, Christ died. It doesn't end there, brethren. It doesn't end there. The Bible doesn't say Christ just died. Read it. 1 Corinthians 15:3, Christ died for our sins. That makes it very, very, very important. Amen? That makes it very, very, very important. Christ just didn't die. He died for our sins according to the scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That makes it different. See, Christ's death is different. Man dies because of his sin. Man will die in his sin. But Jesus did not die because of his sin. Jesus did not die in his sin. He knew no sin. Christ died for our sin. Our sin. Because of that, we have a gospel to preach. But can I tell you, if there were no Christmas, the gospel would be unpreachable. I couldn't stand up here and preach the gospel to you. It would be unpreachable. There would be, notice what the angel said in Luke chapter number 2. Are you there? He said, behold, he said, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Glad tidings, good news, is what he's saying. That's what the gospel is. It's good news. But if there were no Christmas, there would be no good news. And the gospel would be unpreachable. I couldn't preach the gospel. Think about that just for a moment. Thank God for the Old Testament. It tells us that Jesus is coming. But the New Testament says he's come. Amen. Thank God for the Old Testament. Though it ends with the word curse, and though that it presents God to his people, the Jews, we as Gentiles are on the outside looking in. We're that branch that's broken off. Did you know, had there been no Christmas, Paul would not have met Jesus on the road to Damascus. I do hope you realize where that would have left you. But because Jesus was born and did live and did die and was buried and did raise again, he did meet Paul indeed on the road to Damascus. And he commissioned him to become the apostle to the Gentiles. Now we got in. Amen. And now it's to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Brethren, God has been gracious unto us. I fear that we here in America, we have this mindset that God owes us salvation. God owes us nothing. I'm just glad that God doesn't give us what's coming to us. If God gave us what we deserve, we'd all be in hell. But God in his grace and mercy has shown his kindness to us. And he has included us. And as Paul wrote, he has grafted us in as that branch, that olive branch, back into the tree. And now we as Gentiles can stake our claim on the God of heaven, but only through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because we have a gospel. You know who that gospel, if you look at Luke chapter 2, it says in verse number 8, and they were in the same country, shepherds abiding. Shepherds. Lowly shepherds. You know, I think that God chose to make this announcement with his angel to shepherds for a distinct purpose. I sincerely do. You know, you'll find that the common people heard him gladly. It's amazing how that God took these low ones of the totem pole and said, I want you to be the ones to bear the message. I want you to be the ones. I'm glad that God loves all people. There's some that if you had to be educated to get saved, you wouldn't have got it. That's right. There's some if you had to have money to get saved, we wouldn't have got it. If you had to be born into a family of affluence and wealth, we wouldn't have gotten it. If we had to have this or do that, we wouldn't have made it. But thank God if we would just come just as we are, the songwriter said, without one plea. If we would just come and trust what God has done in Christ, we could be saved. That's the gospel. Aren't you glad for the gospel? So this Christmas season, I pray that each one of us would remember where God found us and where we would be without Christmas. It truly is the most wonderful time of the year, but not for what many, many people think it is. It's the most wonderful time of the year because we are celebrating and we are focusing on the fact that God sent his Son into this sin-cursed world. And I pray that you would focus on that. You say, well, preacher, Christmas has been commercialized. Hasn't for me. Why did you allow it for you? You don't have to allow that to happen to you. I hear folks say, well, you know, they've taken prayer out of the public arena. I still pray in public. No one can stop you from praying. You do understand that, right? Nor can anyone commercialize Christmas for you. If it gets commercialized, you do it to yourself. Amen. So if there were no Christmas, the Father would be unknowable, unapproachable, and the gospel would be unpreachable. There would be no gospel, but thank God Jesus has come. Amen. What would be so bad about that, preacher? Well, I want you just for a moment, and I'm going to bring this to a close. I've got several of the things I could say, but I want to bring it to a close here. Look, if you would, in the book of Hebrews. I wonder sometimes if we realize that had Jesus not come, the sin debt would not have been paid. Hebrews chapter 9. You say, well, now wait a minute, preacher. Back in the old economy, they had the law and the offerings, and they had the priests and the priesthoods and the tabernacle and the sacrifices. Oh, I know. But none of those were ever able to take away sin. You do realize that. They were just kind of being put on the count. They were being pushed back and pushed back. Let's read what the Apostle Paul, writing to a group of Jewish believers, reminds them of. That because of Christmas, because of Jesus, how things have changed. Hebrews chapter 9. Paul says in verse number 1, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. And there was a tabernacle made. The first, of course, this is talking about the first compartment. We studied this in our study of the tabernacle. The first, and he starts talking about the furnishings in the tabernacle. And as we studied the tabernacle, we saw that each article was symbolic and a shadow and a type of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he begins to address that. And then he says, and for sake of time, I'll go down to verse number 6 as he talks about the furnishings in those verses there. Verse number 6 of Hebrews chapter 9. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Goes on to say the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as yet the first tabernacle was yet standing. No way you could approach God until the blood of Jesus was placed on the altar, brethren. Until he sat down forever at the right hand of God and became our high priest in heaven, we could not approach the throne of God's grace. Had there been no Christmas, we would not have that privilege. See, we forget these things sometimes. For sake of time, I want to take you down to chapter 10, verse number 1. You read chapter 9 sometimes, it's got tremendous truths. And look at chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereinto perfect. Did you get that? Verse number 2. For then would they have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Here's the clincher. For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Impossible. They were atoned, they were put off, they were postponed, but never cleansed, never clean, never dealt with until verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offering and sacrifice for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. When he was in the garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. He done the will of God, and he paid the price for our sin. And now we're clean, brethren. We're clean. If you are here this evening and you're saved in the grace of God, it's because, and listen, it's because of Christmas. It's because God sent Jesus. That's the only way you can be clean. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only way. I'm so glad. I am so glad that God sent His Son. You see, I do get a little angered when Christians try to make Christmas about fat men in red suits and snowmen and reindeer. I get a little concerned about that. And I think, what's going on here? You're losing sight of why God sent His Son. Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate the forgiveness of sin. Celebrate the fact that you can know God. Celebrate the fact that your sin has been forgiven. And you can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Last thing. If there were no Christmas, the Father would be unknowable, unattainable. If there were no Christmas, the gospel would be unpreachable. But finally, if there were no Christmas, heaven would be unattainable. You can't get to heaven without Jesus. It's the only way. The Bible says in John 17:3, Jesus in that high priestly prayer said, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We all know John 3:16, but John 3:14 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. See, brethren, that's where it's at right there. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's only through Jesus. No one gets to heaven except through Jesus. You say, well, what about those Old Testament saints? I wished I had time to go into that. Did you know that they did not go into the presence of God until Jesus led captivity captive? They were in paradise. That's why on the cross, when that man said, that thief said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me. Not in the third heaven where Paul ascended. No, he said in paradise. Jesus descended first before he ascended. And when he descended, he led captivity captive. The spirits of just men made perfect. And he led them to the third heaven. Why? Because the blood of Jesus was placed upon the mercy seat. And now man could forevermore be in the presence of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So this year, when we celebrate Christmas, let's not get caught up in all the secular things. Someone has said, well, you know, December the 25th, in case somebody leaves here today and says, well, you know, the preacher, he's against traditions. No, I'm not. No, you've mistook me, and many of you know me, I think, far better than that. Don't mistake what I'm saying. There are those, well, you know, Christmas is pagan. Prove it. There's more evidence to say that it's not than it is. Well, it's the Roman Catholics. Yeah, okay, I've heard all those arguments. I'm setting those aside for this sake. I celebrate December the 25th as the birth of Jesus Christ, period. And then, parenthetically, I do have some traditions that my family and I enjoy, and perhaps you do too. But I don't want my traditions to trump what Christmas is all about. And as your pastor, I cannot control your traditions. I just simply ask that you control them and make them secondary during this season and not primary. Whatever your traditions are, that's fine. Just make sure that there's no deception and lying and deceit going on, because one day now you're going to have to answer for that. So be cautious about the traditions that you teach and that you partake in, because, well, one day you'll have to explain that. All right. What if there were no Christmas? Well, I'm not going to think about it, because there is. But if there were, I'd hate to preach the next funeral. Death would have a grip on us. But the Bible says that Christ has tasted death for every man. And he has destroyed, by death, he has destroyed death. And took the power of him that had the power of death. That is to say, the devil. Aren't you glad that Jesus done that for you? Amen. Let's stand. Christmas is